going to start off with some music from Finland, because Finnish 101 is already happening. That's in Nacelle, Washington, the Finam Fest, Finnish American Festival, which takes place only every other year. So it's well worth jumping over there and catching some of what's going on. There's music, dance, food, booths selling all kinds of Scandinavian stuff. And my favorite part, well, along with the music and dance, of course, is the photography room. They have a whole history of the area. And if you live around here, you already know that Nacelle is the home of the Finns. So is the entire area, but that's an especially Finnish town. So they've got music happening tonight, with the including the Swamp Opera, and I'm going to just play you some folks who aren't here this year, but they were one year. This is the Jemina and Selina Sillinpa, and their Papa Sillinpa played with them too. Thanks for being here, folks. Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 coastradio.org. Big shout out to East 66th Street, maybe East 54th Street, Squamish, Seychelles, all over Australia, Long Beach, and wherever you are in our local community.
Kotinsa näin kauas jättää täytyy. Valtameri lavealta silmissämme siintää. Suomen poikain silmät vuotaa eron kyyneleitä. Eipä tässä itkeminen parempi on laulaa. Ehkä sydän kuumempi kuin masuunissa rauta.
And that is the Sillinpa family. The two girls play fiddle. The guitar you hear is Papa Sillinpa, Seppo. And again, the Sisu-powered Sisu. Ufta. Finnish-American Folk Festival takes place today and tomorrow, and then on Sunday there will be some of it happening as well. But the booths and all of the entertainment is mostly on Friday and Saturday. If we have time, we'll maybe hear some music from the Giants, because they're playing tomorrow night. Nacelle High School. And now for something entirely different, although how could it be entirely different when we're talking the arts? I have three live ones here from the Astoria Open Studios Tour, July 28th and 29th. That's tomorrow and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I'm going to let Annie Eskelin, who is the coordinator and organizer for the third year in a row, but this year she is also wearing the hat of the director of the Astoria Visual Arts, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So delighted to have you here anytime. So Annie's going to kind of give us an overview, and she is also a working artist. And in addition, I have Bill Fitch. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
And Bill doesn't come in very... You've been on this show before, though,
nope,
haven't you?
First time.
Oh, my God. Bill, you're a virgin. Yay! We have one virgin in the group. Annie, and the third person is Roger Hayes, who is no virgin at all. Hi, Roger.
I've been around.
You've been... and on this show, for sure. And all three of them will be... Am I right, Annie? You'll be showing work as well?
Yeah.
Great.
I have a studio.
Good. And... you really need to pick up one of these booklets. You can see it in Coast Weekend if you don't have one of the booklets, but I highly recommend this because it's got some of the work of each one of the artists. So tell us about this year's studio tour.
Thanks for having us, Carol.
You bet.
So, starting tomorrow at 10 a.m., there will be 50 artists opening their studios at 28 locations across Astoria. That stretches all the way from Svensson, which is also in the Astoria zip code, all the way to the High Highlight Studio out in Lewis and Clark.
I wondered how you managed to get Svensson in there. It's because of the zip code. That's great. I love it.
Yep. We represent Astoria Visual Arts is serves the greater Astoria area.
Right, including Napa and Brownsmead. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tour guides are available all over town. We've papered the town of Astoria, also Warrenton and Seaside and Cannon Beach and also Long Beach. So if you can't find one, especially go to some of the locations that we dropped off a plethora, which is Old Town Framing, Riversea Gallery, Imaging Gallery, McVarish Gallery.
I picked mine up at Luminary.
And so they're all over. Anywhere we would possibly take some, we deliver them.
Yeah, it's a great memento also because, as I say, it has a representation of each of the artists, plus a map of Astoria showing you where all the artists live. This could be dangerous, you know.
Potentially.
When I get bored and, you know, like, when do you ever get bored around here? There's so much going on all the time, but someday I might just show up at your door. So, yeah. So what kind of, what are you going to be showing, Annie? Tell us about your art.
Well, since taking on the role of ED with AVA, I haven't been making too much art. So what I'm going to do, true to the form of this event, is have a studio space and actually use it as some time to get some work done.
Oh, how clever.
And I have a number of blank canvases that I'm really excited to get some paint on them and scrape on them and just play around and show people what it is that I do and kind of open some doors for, since I was an artist in residence with Astoria Visual Arts, I basically quit using paintbrushes and it's really opened a lot of doors for me.
What are you using?
Wood, cardboard, you know, little pieces of plastic.
For scraping and stuff?
Yeah.
What about fingernails?
You try not to use fingernails.
Guitar picks?
Sometimes I'm a nail biter, so.
Oh, okay.
It's not good to have paint under your nails. No. Just as a general principle, too.
I love that idea, though, that you will really, truly have an open studio. What happens if you have some people come in there and say, ooh, I think yellow would be really nice right there. Can you work while people are talking around you, or are you going to ask them to step back and keep their hands to themselves, or how is it going to work?
Well, definitely engaging with people is part of the reason, getting feedback about your work. That's certainly one of the reasons that I'm participating. I'll have a few things for sale as well. And yeah, I invite all sorts of conversations.
Okay.
I think having feedback about your work is part of the huge benefit of this event.
But you're not inviting people to come and paint with you.
Maybe, sure. Try it out. Absolutely.
Okay, folks, you heard it here. Tell Annie, you heard her say it on KMUN, and you can jump right in there. But you might want to stick around for a while and see what she does first, because I think that's going to be fascinating. And Bill, you're the one of the representatives from Swenson.
Yes.
So is this where do you actually do your work, and what is your work these days?
I work in water-soluble graphite. I belong to a drawing group, and we go around the city every other Thursday and draw. And so during that group is when I actually am using water-soluble graphite.
What is water-soluble graphite as opposed to any other graphite?
Well, it reacts to water. Yeah, I have a water barrel brush. And I take that to the stick, and then from the stick to the paper.
Could you, a water what?
It's a...
barrel?
Yeah, it's a brush that's actually hollow barrel where the handle would be.
Okay.
That you fill with water, and the brush itself is actually plastic. And so you squeeze a little bit on your finger to make it run, and once you get it running, you can go... from there. So
where does the color come in? Or is
there
no
color?
Because it's
graphite. Black and white.
Okay, black and
white. It's black and white.
Okay.
So, and all the grays in between.
Right. Now, I remember way back when you used to... Aha! Could you hold that up to the microphone so people can have a look at that? There you go. That's why I'm telling you to pick up this little booklet, folks. Then you can see what Bill's talking about. I remember when you... used to take paper, especially envelopes.
Oh, yes.
I know I tried to...
And tax forms and checks, anything you want to get rid of.
Right. And what did you do
I stuck it in a blender with water, and I pureed it. And then I made sculpture out of recycled paper.
And you don't do that anymore?
It's kind of messy.
It's
it's messy, a lot messier in water-soluble graphite.
Uh-huh. I see.
You can make a lot of mistakes in water-soluble graphite, but you can make some pretty amazing pieces.
So your forte at this point is, I mean, this is very small, but it looks as though you're drawing in great detail. Is that right?
I am. Now, these pieces you're looking at in the catalog, they're about... probably the actual pieces may be, 10 times larger.
Oh, okay. So, that's hard.
They're quite.
Right.
You know, most of my pieces are 10 by 14. And I'm working on Arches watercolor paper, 130 pounds. So it's 100% cotton. So it absorbs very nicely. You can manipulate unless the weather goes above 80 degrees or it's really windy out, and then you never make it from the stick to the paper. It dries on your brush.
So is that why you live here?
Yeah.
Because we don't have the
we don't have
temperature
wind
problem.
Or temperature problems.
Well,
yeah.
We got wind sometimes. But, what's your art background?
I used to be an interior architect in Portland. And primarily, I worked for commercial companies, Pacific Power, Pacific Core. But I also got the advantage of having a very wealthy client at their house for 7 years.
Oh, nice.
And I only spent $4
million. Oh, so. My goodness. Isn't it nice to spend somebody else's money?
Oh, yes.
So when you say interior architect, that's like design? You did the design?
It is design, yes.
Now, did you have training for that? Or is this,
oh, yes. 5 years of interior architecture at the University of Oregon. And
in the architecture school?
In interior architecture school.
I never heard that term before.
Yeah,
they
call it interior design, but you actually get a degree that says you graduated from interior architecture.
Okay.
So you know how to manipulate the inside of a building instead of just the outside.
Right. Well, the reason I I wondered about architecture school is because when you said 5 years, that's often a 5-year program.
Exactly.
So. Okay. And you were doing sculpture, and now you're doing water-soluble graphite. Okay. And where are you working?
Well, as I say, it's normally with the drawing group that I work. I don't really do it at home.
Right.
I'm a pack rat, so yes. My house is a disaster zone.
Not mine. Certainly not. Notice my address isn't in this book.
That's why everybody likes to come to my house to draw, because there's lots of stuff.
And where will you be showing this time? Though,
we're showing out in Swenson. Mm-hmm. So we're doing at the Old Ingblom place out on Hunt Road. So what you're going to do from Astoria...
You don't have to give directions.
Oh, they have it? Okay.
Yeah, it's in the map. People will have to find that. But...
There will be signs.
Tell us about the other folks who are showing with you.
And one of the other artists is Carol Scott. Carol works in anything and everything. She is a sculptor. So one of the pieces she's exhibiting is a bed, but it's not made with springs, and it's not meant to be slept in.
Okay.
So it's unusual, and it's mostly outdoor art.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've seen flower beds where you have a bed frame and flowers in it, so this is just different.
Now, I'm looking, I just found her piece here, and it says, found material assemblage, pastel acrylic. Does that ring a bell for you or not?
Yes, no. I don't know about the pastels, but I've already purchased one of her pieces, which is a hanging that has been stained in ink and coffee. And I will probably hang it in a window if I can find one that's empty.
Right, right. So how big is the piece?
That particular piece is about 4 feet and six by wide and 6 feet high.
Oh.
So it's a hanging piece.
And it's also large.
Yes, it's large.
Yeah. Big windows. Okay, that's Carol Scott. And then Susan Darms.
Susan works in also found objects. Hers are more in the sculptural realm. A lot of them have the characteristics of people, except you'll be using pins and wire springs, old coffee cans, a little bit of everything. And they're very unusual.
And I have seen Susan's work. I love it. And it goes from small to quite large.
Quite large, almost human scale. Yes.
Right, right. And she's got stuff for garden art as well.
Right.
Imaginative.
She has a piece that looks like it actually was a typewriter that kind of exploded into a person.
Cool.
And it was my typewriter that I took apart.
Okay. Yeah, this is what you call collaborative art, right? I was asking about. Okay. So this is the three artists in Swenson. So it is well worth your while. Now, for me, it's easy. Coming from Brownsmead, that'll be my first stop. If you're coming from Astoria or parts west or north, that'll be your longest. And take some time and get out there. It's also beautiful country. Make sure you have either GPS or the map. So now let me turn to Roger, and I don't know what number you are, Roger.
So 25.
25.
It's on the lower.
The age of reason, is that right? Was that 25?
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that suits
you.
Right. Oh, okay. So what are we going to see from you now? And Roger Hayes has been making art in Astoria for how long?
Well, since I moved here in 88, so 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. And has shown in many places, was also a KMUN programmer, is also a musician. But it turns out that he and Bill both are, okay, here it goes, you are a virgin for the Astoria Open Tour,
that
studio
is true.
Tour.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful thing. See what you've done, Annie? You've really transformed these guys. Roger, you are showing at 632 Florence Avenue, and people will need the map to find it, especially if they're not from Astoria. Tell us about the work you're going to be showing.
Well, there's a picture in the Coast Weekend. There's pictures of people in their studios. But actually, there's a large canvas there, and I'll be working on that because it's still a work in process. I have a hard time not doing hard or big works.
Yeah, although you've done, I remember when you've worked out at
the net shed?
Net shed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had lots of space. But you've also done smaller pieces and shown in several of the galleries. And
yeah, I mean, that was Nick Knappen out there. We did some collaboration. Actually, right. We did collaboration in Royal Nebaker's building, too.
Like right.
Nick was over there for a long time.
In the Red Building, yeah.
Yeah, so we did some series out of that, too. But
this is great. Is what we're seeing, what I'm seeing in the paper right here, is this indicative of what you'll be doing?
Yeah, I'm going to work on that some. Mm-hmm. Not the whole time, but just...
Well, I'm looking compared to what's in the book, for example. This is definitely fully abstract, at least the part that I'm looking at. Whereas this, I see images.
Yeah, well, that's kind of evolved into a figurative thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you found yourself doing more figurative work? In your own way, it's not what everybody...
Yeah, I mean... got to go on forever about, like, you know, figurative work per se or narrative work or something like that. But I think more like in terms of like recognizable images, like stuff I actually found myself getting more inspired from, like, video stills, like shooting video and then kind of tracking things that kind of look a little bit off and then using that as a point of reference, like projecting, like the one in the tour thing that was projected from a still. Same, actually, with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is actually, now it's part of the Astoria Megler Bridge.
Excuse me?
The image. Yeah, that's like kind of, what you see there is kind of like the sky. So, and then there's like kind of the bridge on top of it.
So how big a piece is this?
It's about 5 or 6 by 6 or so,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
Okay. And this is your own studio.
Yeah, it's in the basement of my house.
So you have plenty of room for doing. When you just said that about, yeah, that sounds like you, because your work is always combining. It feels like to me, I'm not going to put a label on it, but it just feels like you have many sources coming into your work. And you have a very diverse art background. For those people who don't know you, can you give us a little bit of your background in Europe, et cetera?
Yeah, you just rang a bell, like, oh, I should have biographical information available. geez, I don't know. Like, it was kind of like, so just to follow that narrative a little bit, like, I kind of, started showing in the 80s in alternative space galleries, and that was all throughout the Midwest. So I was like, from, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Cincinnati, Cleveland, places like that. And then I kind of evolved into this relationship with somebody who was an art brute, art collector, showed in Europe, and he started taking my work over to Europe. So I actually got a pretty good foundation there from, like, you know, 1990 to 2000 or so. It was like pretty much of a steady thing. And I got into some museums, international shows and stuff there, and went over there and took part in some of that stuff. So that was kind of like one chapter of my life. But at that point, I kind of moved out west and kind of started this thing here, which kind of in some ways felt like it was a little bit like kind of at odds with that. But, you know, I kind of surfed with the kind of local art scene, which was kind of, there's always been kind of nonprofit art scene here.
Well, and that's what I mean about you have incorporated many aspects of life, and you constantly do, whether you're making music or making art, doing all the other things you do, because you've done professional work and counseling type work as well, and so it all seems to come together. I'm sorry, but Roger is the one I know the best. Bill, I've known for a long time, but here and now, here. And Annie is so new to me, and I do want to skip back to Annie, because I was so excited when she came here, because she weren't you running the Pendleton Arts Center?
Oh, that would have been nice. No, I was running the Union County Art and Culture Center, also known as the Art Center at the Old Library. It was in a Carnegie Library over in La Grande.
In La Grande, okay.
Yeah.
Pendleton might have been more fun.
It was a dream, absolute dream job.
It was, and the work you did, because I was following you, and when you came here, I was so excited thinking. And now I'm even more excited because you've taken on the role of director of the AVA, and you're staying. This is what is so exciting when artists come and don't float away. You know, and you just heard Roger's story, sort of in and out, but he's here, no questions. We won't let him go.
You don't get
any,
to leave.
That's it. Exactly.
I did just buy a house.
Okay.
So I am.
Congratulations to you and to the rest of us. How did the artists who are in this, because there is such a diversity, I see some people whom I've seen for years, Darren Orange, Christine Trexel, and then Robert Paulman, some of the people whose names we know well. John Clark is here, and Jamie Boyd, Sarah Lippold, Renee Rowe, and then I see names, there's one new person, relatively new in town, Chelsea Gittle,
or mm-hmm.
I can't remember how she pronounces it, but
yeah, I think that's correct.
It's one of Gittle. My favorite names, Gittle. That's my that's my Yiddish name. So shout out to Chelsea. She knows we've discussed it. But how did people get involved in this? Because Susan Bish and Judith Fredrickson, people from the Palette Puddlers.
Mm-hmm.
How did they end up with?
We are very grassroots here. And starting in about February, we put out a call for artists. And this is not a juried tour, so anyone that has a studio or even wants to show in a pop-up studio, we try to get them out there, emerging artists and artists that have been working for 30 years on their craft. They can participate, and it's very low cost for the artists, so this is a great opportunity for them, some of them, to share their art with the public. Almost for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting a lot of questions from some newbies, like, mm-hmm. What do I do? And that's exactly what this tour is about, getting exposure.
Wonderful.
And sharing their art with the rest of us.
With the public and also with each other. I see that a whole bunch of folks, including the ones I just mentioned, are at Art Loft.
Mm-hmm. Art Loft has 10 people.
Art Loft has 10 people.
That's
and is the underwriter for the show. It just so happens. And they also, my next guests coming in, will be talking about Art Loft also because they're holding a function there. That's the Van Gogh weekend.
Right. Yep.
And I also see... let's see, the AVA pop-up studio has a bunch of people. This is is this the brand new studio?
This is, it's not 11th. Even a month. We haven't even had the space for a month.
So
and
exciting. Yeah.
We've had a couple events. This will be the second event that we've had at our new location that's right across from City Hall.
Right. It's that L-shaped building, and they've got Kim Rose Adams, whom I don't know, Bill Atwood, that's a familiar name,
mm-hmm.
and Joy Diamond, and Roger Dorband with photography, and Annie Escalin.
Yep, and Katie
and
George.
And Katie George, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also Renee Rowe.
And Renee. Okay, and I understand that Jamie was there for the opening last month.
Yes, for Art Walk. And I want to mention while I'm thinking about it, this upcoming Art Walk, we're going to be hosting Carol Scott and Sue Darms.
Oh, great.
So we just...
But this time, where are they going to be?
They're going to be in AVA's new space for Art Walk.
Okay.
So a little plug there.
Okay. That's terrific. Okay, so we'll have lots of assemblage work. And folks, the Astoria Open Studios Tour happens only once a year. It's a two-day festival. What number is this? How many years?
This is the eighth consecutive one.
Eighth consecutive. I have to give a shout out to Drew and Charlie, who started the Open Studio Tour, and then AVA took it over and has been doing a great job. So what a gift to the community. What's the website they should go to if they want it?
So, www.astoriavisualarts.org has a lot of information about our wonderful local arts nonprofit, and you can also print out the map. If for some reason you can't come upon a tour guide or pick up Coast Weekend, you can get on your smartphone, and you can even, you know, look at the map online. And
thank you for those of you who don't have a smartphone. Like your host. Us old-fashioned folks. But at some point, you grab one of these booklets because they are delightful. As I say, a keepsake after the whole thing is done. But right now, you can look ahead 10 to 4 tomorrow and Sunday. And it's all over town. It's happening all over town, and then all the way out to Swenson, and then the fabulous High High Gallery takes you way out. It's not that far. It's not as far as Swenson from Astoria. And they have a wonderful Lam and
Kestrel.
And the paper lamps that you see all over town that are just gorgeous. So enjoy. Everybody enjoy your free self-guided tour of 50 artists in Astoria and beyond. Oh, I see, Greater Astoria. That's the new that's the new term. Okay. Thanks to my guests, Annie Eskelin, Bill Fitch, and Roger Hayes, and to all the artists who are taking part. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Got some music here, as I mentioned. Somewhere from the Giants in the Trees. And they are going to be playing tomorrow night at the Fin Am Fest. And that's Eric Friend, Jillian Ray, Ray Prestigard, and Chris Novoselic.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's giants. Giants. And they are giants in the trees. But they are also in the trees because they are all from the Skamakawa area. Story is that I think it was Chris who was ready for a new band. And so he said, anybody wants to be in a band, let's show up at the Grange and let's put together a band. And four people showed up. And those are the four people in the band, and they do a great job. Interestingly enough, so they're going to be playing tomorrow night at the Fin Fest. Interestingly enough, Jillian Ray, who's the singer and the only woman in that group, is also with one of the other bands that is playing tonight, which is Swamp Opera, and a totally different kind of music. So diversity. That's what we've got around here. And speaking of diversity, boy, do I have something special for you here. This is all new to me, all of these people. So the good news is that, except for Scott.
Hey, Carol.
Scott, I forgot. Scott Lehing from Dots and Doodles, which we mentioned earlier. The other three are all virgins on Coast Community Radio. So congratulations to all of you because
Thank you.
It's all over. I am delighted to have you here. I have Tiffany Mang. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, nice to be.
And
nice
Charlene Mosley.
Yes.
Hi, Charlene. I'm going to ask you where you came from because I didn't realize you were so young. The work that you're doing is so exciting and innovative. I guess I expected older people. But I have in the room with me right now four gorgeous people. So eat your heart out, folks. Either that or come over and have a look. That's your choice. You can do that. And then I also have, I said four, all four of them, Dennis Metcalf. And Dennis is here as, I don't know if he makes art as well, but he is the representative of Royal Talons. And he'll tell you about that. It's a Dutch manufacturer. Tell me if I get anything wrong. And they have put together, I don't really understand the process. That's why I told Scott he had to be here in case, but I can see with these three, they'll be able to probably explain everything. They've put together, there's a whole weekend of Colors of Holland is the Royal Talons, but this is a Vincent van Gogh weekend, as far as I can tell. It's going to be very exciting, and one of the parts that all of it is open to the public. A lot of it is free. Some of it is for a price for a workshop. And there's a movie called Loving Vincent. It's an Academy-nominated film. And that's what I was talking about with Tiffany and Charlene, being two of the artists creating this movie. And they're going to tell you what it's all about, because how you make a movie with oil paints, I don't understand. So who wants to... Dennis, do you want to give us kind of an overview of how this came about?
Yeah, I can start out. So we're a Dutch company based in Apeldoorn, Holland, in the Netherlands. And we have... the company's been in business since 1899. So we make a lot of different art supplies, and some of our brands would be Rembrandt and Van Gogh and Amsterdam.
Of course, because it's Dutch.
And the quality is very, very good. Mm-hmm. If we don't have it down by now after beginning in 1899, I think...
Now, let me just mention that I didn't say this, but Dennis is older than the women, but he's not that old either. He was
well,
born.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty
he's
old.
Younger than I am. So let's just leave it at that. So, but now the company is in Holland.
Correct.
But you're not.
No. I live in Oregon, and basically, you know, I'm the Western representative for the company in the Western United States. We have distribution facilities all over the world. The distribution facility in the U.S. is in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And we're involved in this because We're partnering with some of the artists that worked on the movie because the movie, which I'll let them explain in detail about how it was made and so on, but very unique film. And all of the oil paint that was used to create, I think, 65,000 plus paintings to make the movie.
I told you, I don't understand.
Was all Van Gogh oil paint, which we manufacture. So
right.
That's kind of the tie in there. But it's really a pleasure to work with these young ladies and see everything that they've been able to do.
And so, before I start grilling you on how is this possible, what have you really gone and done, I want to mention... Or this is where, Scott, you may want to tell folks what is happening at Dots and Doodles, partnering with Royal Talons and with the Art Loft, Astoria Art Loft.
Yeah, Dennis and I got together and we talked about featuring a lot of these products that are made in Holland, and we would feature them by doing a Holland-themed weekend.
Okay.
And during that weekend, we would be showing people and demonstrating the various art media that people can use, including the oil paints that was used in the film. And this is open to the public to come and experience, because I think a lot of people have not heard about some of these products. The Art Loft, though a separate entity, we work closely together, and the film Loving Vincent is going to be shown at the Art Loft at 7 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay, now what about the demos and the workshops and all
that? The demos and the workshops are all going to take place downstairs at Dots and Doodles.
Okay, good, because I just read that there are 10 artists from the studio tour are going to be showing upstairs.
Correct.
And I'm thinking, how could this possibly all be going on?
Okay. It's going to be like backstage.
Holy
and everybody
cow.
Changing.
Could you please give the address for...
The address will be 303 Marine Drive.
Okay.
That's directly across from Burger King. That's the best landmark I know.
Sorry, I don't approve of that landmark. So. Nothing against, you know, one of our... non-local businesses, but being a vegetarian, it's not
landmark.
Much. Joy.
It's just a landmark.
But an art loft. The entrance is right on Third Street.
Yes, you're correct. It's in the back of the building.
Right.
The folks can use the Dots and Doodles parking lot or anywhere around there.
Good. Okay. So there's going to be stuff going on. This is going to be a hotbed. There's going to be during all day, there's stuff going on, plus there's artists upstairs, and then this movie is going to be going on in the evening, 7 p.m. upstairs. So, Tiffany Mang and Charlene Mosley, where are you folks from? And did you know each other before you started working on this film?
No. So I'm from San Diego. I'm born and raised in San Diego. I went to school in LA, and now I'm back in San Diego. So
went to school in
USC.
Did you go to school in art or just?
I studied animation and digital art, so I had some sort of animation background.
Okay, the plot thickens.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm wondering about that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And how about you, Charlene?
I was born in Berlin and raised there, and moved to San Diego 9 years ago. And I studied at San Diego State University, fine art.
Okay, but at least someone in your family must have been American, because you're speaking complete American.
Well, she has a Valley Girl accent.
I guess. I wouldn't know.
Wait, I love it. A Berlin Valley Girl.
Yeah.
I love it.
I went to an international school there.
Okay.
So when Berlin was occupied, there's remnants from that, so... That's where I guess I...
But you were born after 1989, weren't you?
You guessed right.
I'm sure.
We're about the same age. And we didn't know each other before the film.
Yeah.
No, now I'm seeing you grew up in different... But you both ended up in San Diego. Is there a lot... With 65,000 parts to this film, is there a large group of artists working on this?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 134-ish artists.
125-ish. It was 125.
Okay.
Including post-production, it was maybe a little bit more than that. But
And let me just check back with you, Charlene. Did you study art also?
I did. I studied fine art, studio arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in this?
I saw their call for artists on Facebook, and a couple of my friends messaged me, and they're like, oh, you should totally apply to this. And I saw it, and I thought it was perfect because I studied animation, and I've always wanted to try animating paint on glass, which one of my professors had done, and she makes amazing films, but I had never done. So when I saw this, and, you know, I didn't know it was out of the country at the time, you know, I just applied, and I didn't hear back for 2 months, so I almost forgot about it. And so they emailed me back and said I'd have to fly to Poland to take a test. So
Poland?
Yes, to Poland. So
this is an international project.
Yeah, so we both lived there for 6 months. Yeah. Sure, a little bit more than me. Yeah.
Where in Poland?
Gdańsk.
Gdańsk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, up north. Yeah.
Gdańsk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw pictures of you guys. I still couldn't imagine how gorgeous you were from the photographs, but I'm totally in the dark about the process. Mm-hmm. So now you have a background in animation,
yeah.
Tiffany. What about you, Charlene?
Just traditional fine art, studio art. So when I applied, I was just amazed by, you know, moving paintings. That's all I saw. I had no idea how it happened or how it came about. So I just applied for it. And then when I was there, I had to really quickly learn how everything works because I had no, I couldn't imagine how something would be animated.
Good. Now you understand where I'm coming from. I have no,
yeah,
I
do.
So why don't you, if for the layperson, somebody out there listening in, you know, Kentucky who has no idea what this is about, tell us how it works. Can you run it through for us?
Yeah. You might talk a little bit about how the brainchild, the movie started, too.
Oh, like how Dorota and
how it came to be.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, how it came to be was
good.
Dorota, the director.
Good Polish name.
Yes. Yeah. Dorota Kobiela. She actually was, I guess she was, I don't feel weird talking about this for her, but I guess she was going through a kind of rough time in her life, and she really resonated with Van Gogh's letters, all his letters that he wrote to his brother Theo. So it started off as she wanted to make a short film, and then her husband, Hugh Welchman, who co-directed the film with her, he convinced her to make a feature film out of it. And a lot of people said that, you know, it would be possible. But in the beginning, when, I don't know, there was like 20 Polish painters who started off doing keyframes for the film and
doing
some keyframes. I guess like just painting out like certain landscapes to see how the film would look like and his style. And it was a really small team. And then as it grew and grew, then they tested a lot of different kind of paints, and they ended up, you know, falling in love with Royal Talon's paints. Mm-hmm. So we ended up ordering, you know, millions of tubes, thousands and thousands of tubes from them. And so that was like, a love story that came to be. But I guess that's sort of the origin. And you want to explain how the process works?
Yeah. And then, then they had 3 weeks of filming the live action part of it. And then they realized that the group was like the small group of painters was the film wasn't happening fast enough, so they started hiring the international group, which we were part of. So that added over 100 international artists from all over the world.
So we're like the last leg of the film.
Yeah.
So like the last, I don't know.
We came in the last
production.
6 months of.
And I think you mentioned
the film
that
production.
There were only 13 people from the United States.
Yeah. So 10 to 13. I'm not exactly sure.
That's fantastic.
Sure. Yeah.
So good for you, though. That is very exciting. Were most of the artists young people?
You know, it was
we had
really
a good range
diverse.
Of ages,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The youngest was. She was like 21.
No, Kenzie was 18,
Vitaly.
I think.
Yeah, there's like a student from Ukraine. He was like 19. I don't know. He was really talented. And then there's people who are like 60 something.
Yeah.
There's people with families. They had to leave their families and everything.
What was the language that people communicated in? You two are easy.
Yeah. So
English.
All our international groupies speak in English. And then when it came to the Polish people, it was a little bit, they spoke some English, but they don't really speak a lot of English there, so it was a little bit harder.
It's discouraged.
Yeah.
Although I have a friend in Poland who's more fluent in English than I am.
Oh.
Shout out to Magda Hondenska.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you enjoy it? Was it grueling? How did you learn a lot? Tell us about the...
I think it was a roller coaster. It was...
Good.
6 months of pretty much everything, because the work itself was very exhausting. We had our booths, which we worked in, which consisted of a board, a camera, a projector, and what am I missing? And it was dark most of the time, so because we were projecting and then... You know, you're in your little booth. So it's a lot of individual work with just you and your canvas board for the whole day, and you have to get things done. And then you learn the process and how to make things happen. It was all, we had to get done very fast. Yeah. So
were you painting on canvas or glass?
Canvas, yeah. It was just on canvas.
It was more like a Masonite board.
Masonite. And how big was each?
I must say about like 3.5 feet by 2.5 feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty big.
Big, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will mention something that people often ask is that if we switch out each board for every other frame, so basically we're painting 12 frames per second. It's 24 frames per second, but we're painting every other frame. So the first frame, the third frame, the fifth frame, every odd frame.
Yeah.
And we don't switch out the board. So basically we're scraping off the paint on the gesso board, you know, let's say it's a 200 frame scene. So you're using that same board until the end of that scene.
Yeah.
So only the last frame of each shot that you get is kept. So even though there's 65,000 frames, there's only like 1,000, more than 1,000 of those frames being kept and sold now, you know, for 5,000 euros, you know, original paintings from the film. Yeah.
So this is the essence of impermanence. Really, because you kept on moving. Now, here's a possibly touchy question, Dennis. This is oil paint.
Right.
What about health?
Well, I might start out by saying that we do make water-miscible oil paints. So if you have a problem with solvents or anything like that, we do have paint that you can use with water, which acts very similar to traditional oil paint. You know, in recent years, they've done a lot. The art manufacturers have done a lot to get out of a lot of the pigments and the things that were causing people problems in the past. It's pretty much all started with the state of California. California is known as the most strict for any of those codes. So when manufacturers around the world or in the United States develop products, if they you know, California's a big market. So you want to sell California, you have to pass all of those tests. So
of course, Astoria is even better, but go on.
Okay, and I don't doubt that. Yes, I don't know Astoria as much, so. But it's not like it used to be. There used to be some very, very, you know, hazardous materials that people would use and had bad effects over it. But, you know, it's not like it was. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of synthetic pigments and things that have been, that are very, very good, but replace some of the more toxic pigments that
good.
Were
I'm
around
glad to hear
ago.
Because you look very healthy. But, you know, I just wanted to.
Additionally, though, Carol, additionally, a lot of times people who paint with oils can paint without using solvents.
Mm-hmm.
So there are methods and ways in which one can use an oil paint. And I imagine in small enclosed spaces, that's probably one of the things some people did, at least, was not to use a solvent in order to clean materials and thin paints.
And this is why we have dots and doodles in Astoria, because Scott and Tim are professionals, and they can answer all of your questions about your art needs and how to do it right and how to make all kinds of things happen, including bringing this fabulous weekend to Astoria. I think it's wonderful. I'm just delighted to welcome
you all.
We're
very excited. I have to especially thank Dennis, who really coordinated all of this.
Good.
I'm just sort of the gopher here.
Scott, just lean in.
Scott's a very good client and friend, and does a wonderful job.
Yeah, we love him. We're keeping him. Yeah. We're keeping him. We're not letting him go. We will let you folks go because I only have a few more minutes for the show. Let's remind folks again. This is at Dots and Doodles. There are free demos from 10 to 5 tomorrow and Sunday.
Sunday till about, I guess, 2:30 or so, there, give or take.
Okay, so check in, but, you know, if something downstairs isn't happening that you want to see, go upstairs and see the art. And Charlene and Tiffany, when are you going to be presenting and what? Real quickly.
Oh, we'll be there all day, starting at 9. And then I'll be doing a demo in portrait painting and watercolors, and then one later on for children's illustrations in pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiffany?
I'm doing landscapes and oils. And we're both teaching Loving Vincent how to paint like Van Gogh workshop at 4:30, I believe. And
four o'clock.
Okay.
On Saturday
tomorrow.
And then the film is at 7.
Yeah.
And those are the two that there will be a charge for. But you can find all that out. Is there a phone number or a website?
Yes, they can call us at 503-325-5081. And just one other thing just to mention, the ladies are going to be painting a mural.
Oh, yes, we'll be doing
that. As well, throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
A giant mural.
Okay, the women will be painting a mural.
Yes, they will.
In the style of Van Gogh.
Yes.
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Tiffany Meng and Charlene Mosley and Dennis Metcalf and Scott Lang. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell folks a little bit else what's going on. And theater. Coaster has Baskerville tonight and Saturday the musical. Astor Street Opry Shanghai is sold out for tonight, and it is on tomorrow and then next Thursday. Papa, Beauty and the Beast. I went last week. Wonderful singing and dancing, and it's quite the story. It's at the Fort Columbia Theater, and the Barn Community Playhouse has its Broadway Baby. And it's going on all weekend. The Fin-Am Fest, don't forget. And here's an exciting thing. Our friend David Campiche, friends, and Eric Weigart, both born and bred on the peninsula, are having a opening tonight, 5 to 7, at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco, Form and Fluidity, a retrospective. Manzanita Farmers Market is featuring Sedona Fire Band. Hoffman has filmmaker Kelly Baker. Tomorrow, Troll Radio Review, and it's going to be outside at Fort George with Bikini Beach Band and Uno. They got rid of the Who. So that's a couple of our local dear friends. La Voz de la Comunidad and INCO are having a rally 11 to 12:30 tomorrow. It's in support of the sanctuary movement that is part of Oregon's tradition. And let's keep that 105 down, my personal opinion. Studio tour, Dots and Noodles, and Art Loft for this wonderful production.